Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
So hello, everyone, and welcome back to Compliance Pointers. I'm your host, Jordan Eisner, and I'm the VP of Sales with Compliance Point. I've been with the organization for a little over 10 years, and I have the honor of hosting this podcast. And today I'm joined by Jim Tierney. Jim works in our security assurance group here at Compliance Point, one of five focused practice areas we have. And Jim is a well-known SOC 2 expert, right, in the world. Of course, no, I'm just kidding. But definitely in these circles, right, he's our SOC 2 guru, works with a majority of our clients that we're helping ready and prepare for SOC 2 audits. But Jim also has expertise in ISO 27001. And really the topic today is talking about the transition from ISO 27001 version 2013 to version 2012, right? And some of the common challenges organizations might face with the transition and some solutions to those challenges. Jim, prior to joining Compliance Point, spend a good career with his PwC, right, Jim? Several years there, several different roles, actually was in charge of the internal, right, annual SOC 2 attestation, right, is my understanding, in addition to, his expertise in terms of technical systems there, operational controls and other things from a data security standpoint, and has been a great addition to the team here at Compliance Point and is beloved by clients and will no doubt be beloved by the podcast audience right on this call today, Jim. So, you need no further introduction after that.
Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate it. Yeah, SOC 2 at PwC, among other audits. So I also fielded all the, I assisted on several ISO 27001 2013 audits before the version upgrade occurred, and then plenty of client audits, internal audits, so all around the horn.
It's all the same. You dream in audits.
That's right. I'm the counter audit task force.
There you go. I like that. Counter task force. CATF. CATF. All right. Well, let's talk first about where we are. Where are we in the transition timeline? Is 2013 officially out? Is there a grace period? Are we on to 2012? Right. What's that look like?
Well, there's still transition time. So everyone's got to transition by October 31st of 2025. But realistically, okay, I would say the next full cycle, organizations should be, kicking off the new version.
Okay. So Halloween next year.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that helps frame it from timeline standpoint. So there's still some time, right, for organizations to continue to certify or recertify, right, depending on what year they are.
I would imagine from the audit bodies you're going to start, anyone on the 2013 is going to start getting pressured to upgrade at least by their next full cycle. So I would anticipate that you're going to hear more and more about it as it gets closer. So I'd say the window's probably closing a little faster than the final deadline, okay, just because of the way, audit bodies tend to operate. They're going to want to, make that shift at the first reasonable time for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what are some common challenges, right? Let's get into that. So making this transition, making this shift, if organizations are going to maybe start feeling a little bit sooner before that, they probably need to start planning and anticipating that. So what are some common challenges you're seeing they can expect as part of transitioning from 2013 to 2022?
Yeah, moving from 2013 to 2022, it's I would say there's some internal change management that needs to occur because you have some different controls. There's actually fewer overall, but some in new areas. So you'll have to get your key control owners and stakeholders on board with what the transition means. New control areas, you'll have to get management buy-in because it could require some, you know, other resources or tools, and certainly planning. The good news is if you already have an ISMS in place, then while the shift is significant, you have things in place that will translate. You know, you will have already have a functioning internal audit. You will have, you know, a documented ISMS. So it's revisiting documentation that you already have, mm-hmm. and making sure that you have coverage over the new controls. And so that's, you know, I would not overlook the change management piece of this internally, because a lot of, depending on your organization and how, you know, many audits you endure, you know, often the audit fatigue itself means you want to be clear with stakeholders about what those changes are. So, you know, having the GRC team, governance, risk, and compliance, do the homework and lifting on what exactly is changing for each stakeholder, and then pulling them in and talking to them ahead of the shift will help reduce the friction of the challenge in transition.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So maybe more tactically, how should organizations address these challenges right now? That's what they are and something that they need to consider, but how would you recommend going about doing it?
I would recommend
keeping it high level, obviously.
High level. But. Yes. You know, make sure that leadership is behind the shift. Know that there's not really going to be a choice much longer as far as shifting to the new standard, or, you know, a lot that usually gets management's attention. They don't want to lose their ISO certification. So, and then, you know, maybe prior to going to management, you know, identify, you know, pull down the new standard, compare it to your current control environment, and see what changes you'll need to put in place. So there are new areas that you'll need control over, and then there's some controls that can be consolidated, so that won't be much. But you want to be able to clearly show management what the differences are so that they can plan accordingly. So do that homework before that discussion. You know, here's what it's going to take for us to meet the 2022 standard. And at that point, once they're like, okay, make it happen, then you're going to want to break out the controls by control owner and have those conversations with those groups and see what changes they're going to have to implement in how they're managing their areas. That way you're very pointed with, you know, what exactly will change, what may change in their process. And of course, you know, being the governance, risk, and compliance group, aligning your documentation to the new standard will be key.
And to reframe it too for everybody, right? It's not like we're starting from scratch, right?
Yeah, that's the big lift. I mean, because, right. You know, and I don't know if, you know, if any of our listeners were, you know, part of their first, you know, ISO certification for the organization, that can be a considerable effort from a documentation perspective, from assigning ownership of controls and really getting the ISMS in place. So the good news is you're not doing all of that again. It's more, hey, how do our existing controls, and you may have, you know, controls that are outside of ISO because of, you know, particular contractual commitments. Maybe you have other frameworks to which you align at the same time. Maybe you also get a SOC 2 every year. So a lot of the controls you'll be able to use, but I would say, you know, to have the best conversation with leadership and stakeholders, control owners in your organization, I recommend doing the heavy lifting of, you know, telling them exactly what changes, because you have to remember the GRC people are the ones who really own this from a full-time perspective. Most systems admins, for instance, have a lot of system administration to do. A lot of the, you know, log engineers, logging and risk identification, you know, they have very busy areas. So you want to make it as easy for them to understand what's changing as you can, because you know, ultimately you're going to be dependent on their procedures for the evidence when the auditors come in. So you want to make them happy by doing, you know, some of the, at least the homework piece.
Okay. How realistic is it to do all this internally, right? Are organizations getting third-party help? With ISO, you have to have a third party, obviously, for the certification. I know a lot of companies additionally use a third party for some internal independence. But what about, you know, this is not either of those per se, but it's more so readying, right, for the transition. Would you recommend a third party, or, you know, what circumstances would you want to know about an organization before you, you know, made that decision?
Yeah, you know, given, you know, the changes, if I had the opportunity, you know, I would engage a third party just because it'll help expedite what the key changes are. So someone who's seen the transition, what kind of roadblocks they've encountered in other engagements, I would like the opportunity where I am looking at doing this for my organization to build off of what people have already seen, just because, you know, there's not, you know, time is of the essence. So if someone can save you time, then I recommend considering some outside help, someone who's been through the transition with several clients that can, you know, identify the, what I like to call the usual suspects or obstacles that have come up in other organizations, so that I can, you know, expediently deal with those and move seamlessly from 2013 to 2022. So, you know, you probably can do it yourself. It's, you know, it's just more kind of homework and a little bit of guessing of, you know, where the sticking points might be. But if you have, you know, ISMS trained personnel and you can, you know, shift them, they'll, you know, they would need extra time away from their particular duties to really focus in on, you know, the exact changes and what that means for your organization. But if they're kind of already managing a large, complex program, it might be a little much to ask them to also shift an entire organization to from 2013 to 2022. So in those instances, I would, you know, look to outside help to just help kind of identify a clear path and to avoid snafus that, you know, they've seen in the past, so that you can deliver it for your management in an efficient way.
Hmm. How long would you anticipate, right, this should take somebody focused on it?
I think the transition could be, you know, 3 to 6 months would give, you know, because you always have, you know, getting time with control owners. You mm-hmm. need some time to actually focus on what the changes are, you know, do a gap analysis of the new requirements versus the control framework you typically operate from, you know, given that, you know, we're having this discussion because someone's already, you know, 2013 certified, you know, you have kind of those measured out and mapped, but kind of remapping the new control set would be, you know, what I would say would be the upfront work. And you know, I'd say typically, for whatever reason, things that seem like they could take 30 days take 90. So I would say probably 90 days.
Yeah.
To get geared up and then
to allocate enough time to check your work, right? And to have peace of mind that you're ready.
Yep.
And not rush it.
Yeah, you don't want to rush in and then find out that, you know, preventable errors are there and there's nothing to do about it once the auditor shows up.
Right. Okay. I think we knew this would be short and sweet. I think this was both short and sweet, which is good, right? Quick hitter for our listeners. Anything additional you would add or you think we didn't check?
No, I think that's, I think we got the, you know, the...
We got the high-level gist, right?
If you got the gist.
That's a good plug there, right? If somebody has more questions, right, and they want to talk more specifics, right, on the transition and, you know, where compliance one could help or what they even need to know from a conversation standpoint, we're happy to do that, right? So Jim and myself are both on LinkedIn. Reach out to us that way. And then compliance one is many channels that you can come to us. Phone number, website, email address, all on our website. Phone number, email address on our website. I think I said our website was on our website. That's a given. So for the listeners out there, if you want to learn more, talking more specifics, please don't hesitate to reach out. We'll continue to post content like this and keep our subscribers abreast of changes and what they need to do. So until next time, Jim, thanks for your time.
Yep, thanks so much.